Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The power to name a baby is a big one. But if U.S. Census records are to be believed, American parents have delivered some doozies. And even if I'm a pig and Mary A. Hogg were jokes on the census takers, we've still got some wacky stuff in the records. This hour on Point, a romp through the history and psychology of bad baby names. Joining me from Denver is Michael Sherrod, and from Salt Lake City, Matthew Rabeck. They're co-authors of the new book, Bad Baby Names, the Worst True Names Parents Have Saddled Their Kids With, and you can too. Michael Sherrod, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be here.
And Matthew Rabeck, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with me in the studio today is Laura Wattenberg, author of The Baby Name Wizard, creator of the online Name Voyager. We've talked with her before about the names that have been popular over time, and it's great to have you with us again today, Laura.
Thanks, Tom.
Michael, tell us what you all are up to here. How did you come up with a book of the worst baby names in history, as far as we can tell?
Well, Matthew and I both work at Ancestry.com, and we work in the publishing division, and one day I was standing in the hall next to our digital preservation unit, and they have framed pictures of census records on the wall, and one of the names that I happened to notice was the family name Whiffer. And I thought, well, that's an unusual name, and I started reading down the names of the children, and the last one was Fanny. And it just struck me that that was a pretty funny name. So I went back to the publishing group and said, you know what? We publish a lot of books about family history that are, you know, pretty hardcore, the big reference books and so forth. So why don't we do something that's a little more fun? So we started looking for names based on categories, and like the seven deadly sins or sandwich fixings or tools, diseases. In every category we looked at, we found names, and it was just astounding. So that's where the book was born.
Now, I know I remember – you know, people have all kinds of names and all kinds of wacky names. I stepped into a Kinko's once in Chicago a few years ago, and the delightful young woman who stepped up to help me had her name tag on, Velveeta. I thought, oh, boy, that must be something to carry. I had a high school guidance counselor named Judy, I was just thinking this morning. Grew up with a girl named Candy Cane. I'm sure there are probably hundreds, thousands of those around the country. I'm not sure. But what brings these to light? Describe the census records that gives you access to what's on the records when it comes to American names.
Well, the census we looked at went from 1790 to 1930, and 1930 was the last census that's been released. They're only released 72 years after they're taken for privacy reasons, so the 1940 census won't be released until 2012. But what we thought was interesting was that even in that remote time, 1790, people were naming their children unusual names. And the census records are actually imaged and searchable, every name searchable on Ancestry.com. So we were able to just search for names and then actually look at the record to verify that that was the real name that was on the record. So we found some very interesting names that we thought can't be, like Lone Ranger. But when we went to look, there were like five Lone Rangers. Now, they may have been pronounced Lonnie, but they were spelled L-O-N-E-R-A-N-G-E-R. So we wanted to verify with the actual record image, which we did, and that's how we found them.
Matthew Rabeck, we know Americans have a pretty good sense of humor, or sometimes a pretty wacky sense of humor. They may apply it to their kids. They might also just apply it to the census taker. I mean, what portion of these do you think are just, you know, Americans having fun with the guy or gal who came to the door in 1910 asking the names of the people in the house?
Well, I think some of the names are pretty obviously that. But like Michael said, in most of the cases, we actually found multiple occurrences of these names. So it's not like we just found one person named Latrine. We found hundreds of people named Latrine, which kind of suggests that it may have been a joke in one case, but it probably wasn't a joke in every case.
Maybe somebody thought it was funny, even maybe a beautiful name. Michael, start to walk us through here. A couple different categories. Take us where you like. I'm looking at the book. There's just weird stuff all over. Here's a little bit on clothing that shows up in names. You got Shirt Duggan, Shoe Miles, Pants Aggers, Socks Brockington, and Panties Moberg. Oh, boy. Good luck.
Well, I like doing the dishes. There we have Fork Laceford, Spoon Weatherspoon, Knife Leona, Bowl Hall, Cup Davis, Pan Spaulding, Mug Bearden, Pot T. Pine, Sink Sinkfield, that's one of my favorites, Bar Bell, Chair Siggins, Steve DeVries.
What is your theory of the case? These are, and there's a lot of different categories where people do this, but here they're, I mean, they're clearly having fun and they know their kids are going to bear this name. To what end? What's the purpose? They think their kids are going to get a chuckle all their lives? It's going to help them out somehow?
Well, we developed a little bit of a theory about that. Now, it's totally unscientific, but we kind of think that men in 1790 and the 1800s certainly had a little more influence in naming their children. And in the modern day, we have discovered that almost every man we talk to has at one time or another had a really seriously odd name they wanted to name one of their children. And they were stopped by their wives, fortunately. And we think that in the earlier times of the country, they weren't stopped. And so they named their children.
Oh, this is just men on the loose?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Just totally unfettered. And some of them named their children after messages to the King of England, like Pox King, Yellow King, you know, Coward King, those kinds of things. And we think others just did it because they thought it was funny. And unfortunately, their children had to bear that.
Whichever way they turned, you've got jobs in here. Lawyer Lowe, Dr. Love, Governor Bush. That was a coal loader. So way back before the governors, we know Baker, Cook, Carpenter, Manuel, Plumber, Tub, Mechanic, Moody. I'm not sure what to make. Outlaw, Skinner, Warden, Rambo, Matthew. Is this the child's destiny? Even a father thinks it's like funny. Hey, you can be a, I don't know, a plumber, period. Here's your name.
Well, I think in some of these cases, at least, I think the parents suffer from what I would call well-meaning ignorance. You know, we have a blog, too, that's based on this book. It's www.badbabynames.net. And we ask for people to send in names or hear, you know, name stories. And one of the stories that we heard recently was a woman who was in the hospital giving birth to her child. And she heard her doctor talking about placenta, and she didn't know what that was, but she thought it was a great sounding word, and so she decided to name her kid Placenta because she thought it was a pretty name. You know, obviously that ends up being kind of funny afterwards, but I think there are examples in this book as well of people who did the same sort of thing where they were looking for a name that sounded pretty or had real meaning behind it and were just ignorant of what it actually meant. One example of that is we found someone named Caligula Hyatt. And, you know, Caligula was obviously a bloodthirsty, crazy maniac of the Roman Empire. But, you know, when you look at this kid's family, he had a brother named John and a brother named Jerome. So it seems to me that this parent was just looking for good, solid, kind of old Roman-sounding names. And Caligula was one that just popped up that he'd heard somewhere and didn't know who that person was and just thought it sounded interesting.
It does kind of roll off the tongue in an interesting way. We've already got listeners who are responding to just the kind of circumstances you're talking about. Let's take one from Williston, Vermont. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I just wanted to let you know that I had a similar experience. I was in training in my residency, and we were giving a medication called Parlodel. And my memory is that it was for when a uterus was bleeding. It could have also been to keep the milk from coming down into breasts when a woman was not breastfeeding. But again, this woman liked the sound of the name of the drug so much, she evidently named her baby Parlodel.
Wow. Sounded good, at least at the time. Dan, thanks very much for calling, Dr. Dan. Laura Wattenberg, what do you make of this range of names? Some just leap off the page as surely jokes on the census takers. But others, people reaching out in just a fey moment and giving their kids names they're going to live with, Parlodel or Caligula or you name it, for, they hope, many years.
Well, Americans certainly do set a record around the world for their unusual creativity in baby names. One reason is just that we're allowed to. At this same time period, if you were in France or Spain, there would have been strict regulations keeping your names on the straight and narrow.
Religious regulations or just the government had, what, a list of approved names and those otherwise?
It's actually fascinating. Every country in Europe had its own approach to regulating names, so it reflects a lot of your national character. In France, the regulations might have been about preserving French language and culture, whereas in Denmark, it was about the child's well-being. We want to prevent poor children from being victims of bad baby names.
Of their own parents' silliness. What jumps out at you? You've looked at names a lot, Laura. What kind of names jump out at you as bad baby names?
Well, every generation comes up with its own approach to bad baby names. So the profession names and the honorary names of a century ago, back then, parents were imagining great futures for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a laborer who would name his son doctor or lawyer. Today, we've turned the tables. So today, we have a generation of kids growing up whose parents want them to become doctors and lawyers, but they're naming them after old-fashioned handwork professions like Tucker and Taylor.
Because they sound solid and somehow have a patina of antique goodness, wholesomeness, something.
We want our kids to sound rugged, but we don't want them to live a rugged life.
And then, of course, you've got the whole world of celebrity names. Hannah Montana, Miley Ray Cyrus, born Destiny Hope. She didn't like that. She doesn't use them. Fifi Trixie Bell, Bob Geldof's daughter. Moxie Crimefighter, daughter of Penn Jillette, Sage Moonblood from Sylvester Stallone, Tomorrow, daughter of the actor Rob Morrow. Good luck to all those. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about bad baby names, what U.S. Census records say about the crazy names that have been recorded for Americans, American babies, the worst and wackiest names recorded in the public history of the census. Michael Sherrod and Matthew Rayback are with me from Denver and Salt Lake City, the co-authors of the new book, Bad Baby Names. Laura Wattenberg is here as well, author of The Baby Name Wizard. She's got her Name Voyager online where you can see what names are popular, were popular, when, and in what degree. What do you think? Why do people do it? And who would name their baby War and Peace, Helen Troy, Forrest Sherwood, Merry Christmas, I'm a Muskrat? Do these just sound like spoofs on the census taker to you, or have you known people with really bad names? And give us the best of the worst you've known. The poor kid you sat next to on the school bus, candy store, Infinity Hubbard, Paige Turner. Let's go to, well, it's springtime. Let's go to Robin in Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Robin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I'm laughing because just to hear it makes me laugh, but a little bit ruefully. I was named Robin Bird by my parents. The last name is B-I-R-D.
Thanks a lot, Mom. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad. They thought it was hilarious. But I think really it's cruel. I haven't read the book, but I will, and thank you for writing something about this kind of particular cruelty to children.
Well, help us understand your own parents' thinking. You sound like a full-grown adult who's had plenty of time to think about it. What do you make of it?
I've had so much time to think of it, I changed it. I changed my first name when I transferred to a different university in my junior year. And I think I transferred partly to get away from the name Robin Bird. I think my parents thought it was cute, but I hope my father's not listening, I think it was their narcissism at work. I think they had no clue that it would be pretty much unbearable for a girl of 18 to be called Robin Bird.
Were they frivolous kinds of people or just high-humored, you know, whatever they felt in the moment? Were they, you know, particularly, jokesters in your view?
Well, my father was a jokester and my mother had been a singer. They were both entertainers, both musicians. And so I think they thought there was a place for this in the world, but I also think that it was really about them, that I was kind of the latest little statue on the mantle for them. I don't mean to sound so harsh, but really it's so cruel to give your kid a name that's all about your sense of humor.
Yeah. Robin, Leah, thank you very much for your call. We'll make no joke about it. Laura, what about it? The attitude of parents when they step into this kind of ha-ha role with the name their kids are going to carry.
Parents do have to remember that this is not a choice they're making for themselves. They're acting on behalf of someone who can't act because she hasn't been born yet. But at the same time, every kid responds differently to having an unusual name. One famous case is Shanda Lear, who is the heiress to the Lear jet fortune. And she actually embraced her name and says she loves it, that it's a great conversation piece.
Michael, Matthew, can you see from the historical record if people have loved these or ducked them, changed them over time?
but we don't really have the
Sorry, go ahead, Matthew.
I was going to say, we don't really have the ability, you know, from the census records to be able to say, you know, one way or the other. One thing that we can tell is that many of these names show up in one census or two censuses, but then don't show up beyond that. So that may suggest that some people are changing them, but we can't say for sure.
And they're not all necessarily bad. Some are just kind of out there. Moses Law, Genesis George, Exodus Miles, Deuteronomy Temple, Sinai Stone. Hey, maybe it's just it's a statement of some kind, Michael.
Well, exactly, and as Laura mentioned, some of these people really love their unusual names. They feel that they give them a certain identity, that people remember who they are. They have a lot of fun with it. There's the famous case of the federal judge Barefoot Sanders in Texas, who said right before his death that he loved his name. Barefoot was his mother's maiden name. And he said it is what made his political and judicial career so successful was because every voter remembered him.
We've got a lot of people with stories about names. Let's go to Prince calling from Boston. Hi, Prince. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What do you know? Prince?
My parents were both jokesters, and my mother thought it would be great. My last name's Williams, and they thought it would be great to name me Prince Williams. As I was growing up, I just kind of assumed the name Will, and it kind of stuck all throughout my college career, and now my family just kind of calls me the boy formerly known as Prince.
So your parents gave up on their earlier humor. Boy formerly known as Prince, thanks very much for that. Let's get another right here. Noble calling from Highway I-55 in Illinois. Noble, you're on the road. What do you know, sir?
My name is from my grandfather, Noble Nordahl, and I've always enjoyed my name, but I called to tell you how destructive names can be, because I went to high school with a family, they were both teachers, and their last name was Duck, and as you might guess, they named their oldest son Donald, and we tortured and tormented him to the point that he later committed suicide over the name.
And it's not an urban legend. This was a boy you knew. This is a suicide you know, Noble?
Yes. I went to high school with him. Oh, I went to school with him. And in grade school, we would all gather around him and quack at him, and he would lunge at us. And being, you know, the kids in grade school don't have any appreciation of what they're doing to other children. But it persisted all his life. People would make fun of him, and he couldn't handle it.
As long as it lasted. That is truly sad, but you can see for kids on the playground, there's just no end to the torment fun you could have right there. Noble, drive safely. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Andover, Connecticut, and Iggy. Iggy, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call. So when I was born, my birth name was Tom, which I think is a fine name. I'm sure you'll agree.
I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. But, you know, like the last caller said, my friends were brutal with my last name, everybody's last name, not just my own, which is Strabula, a Czechoslovakian name, and they did all sorts of variations on it. And I wasn't given a middle name. So in the sixth grade, when I was about to be confirmed and you get a middle name, my father suggested taking the name Ignatius, and everybody would call me Iggy, which I just jumped at. He was appalled. He said he was just kidding, and a lot of my friends were doing this. One kid took Fabian, but I took Ignatius, and Iggy stuck for years. And to this day, I'm still Iggy, Uncle Iggy. When I went through the service, everybody, their last name was up. Iggy was my name. I actually kind of grew up without a last name.
Iggy, I mean, why not, I'd say, but was Iggy Strabula that much more comfortable than Tom Strabula somehow?
Well, you know what? I didn't like being called Beulah or Stribs or String Bean and, you know, I took some other awful names. And, you know, I just, Iggy is a great name. I mean, everybody's got an iguana named Iggy. Unfortunately, I share that name with a lot of iguanas. And, it's to this, you know, my son, it's the same thing happened to him, but he loves it. He's being called Stribs and he loves it. And
right.
His first name is Brendan. So, I mean, go figure. I'm Iggy.
Iggy, and, we love it. There's a strategy. If you don't like if your last name is open to child's ridicule, get a jazzy first name and maybe it'll distract them. Michael, what do you say? Thanks, Iggy. Mike?
Well, you know, I think that's a pretty good strategy, actually. But people, one set of names that I found particularly disturbing in the book were the diseased, it's the one, the section called Diseased Minds, where parents named their children after various diseases, like leper priest, cholera peace. And cholera peace was born in 1830 in the middle of the second cholera pandemic. And you just have to wonder why you would name them after such a terrible disease. Rubella Graves, typhus black. It's when you have a name like that, I wonder what kinds of strategies that you would take on to, you know, call yourself Ruby. It's a little disturbing.
You're going to have to put some kind of camouflage around it. Let's get another call from Flagstaff, Arizona, and Nathan. Hi, Nathan. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Pretty good. What do you know, Nathan?
Yeah, when me and my wife were having our first child, we were kind of looking through names, and we had picked up a book at a bookstore called What Not to Name Your Child. And just kind of out of curiosity, I was kind of wondering what names were being used, kind of talking about the same, thinking about the same thing you guys were talking about. I happened upon someone that named a child Chlamydia.
Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. Another one of these because it sounded interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the description. Like, the lady apparently loved the name and, like, loved how that word sounded. But, I mean, that could be really detrimental to a child as they grow older.
Yeah, it sounds like it just might. I take it you didn't use that for your child, Nathan.
Absolutely not. My wife and I are very simple with names.
Nathan, thanks for the story, though. Thanks for calling. Let's get another from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Margie, you're on the air.
My story is about a friend of mine named Jeanette, and she was born during the Second World War. And her father was stationed in Alaska. And I guess at that time, when a baby was born, the American Red Cross would notify the father. And they did, and they said, "You have a lovely baby girl." And he wanted to indicate to his wife where he was stationed, so he telegraphed back, "Let's name her Jeanette Alaska." And the wife took it to heart, and in fact, that's what the baby's name was. And to this day, she's Jeanette Alaska.
And why not? You know,
and why not? It's actually kind of a pretty name.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no saying that just because it's a place name or just because it's unusual, it's a bad name. Laura Wattenberg, I mean, clearly people are often looking for distinction. Place names show up in lots of names, and they're often lovely. Why not?
Well, in the case of the girl named Alaska, in a way it really commemorates a moment in time, and perhaps even some of the bad baby names we've been talking about, like the child named Cholera during a cholera epidemic. You actually find that when there's a horrific hurricane, like Hurricane Katrina, you would think that the name of the hurricane would disappear. But in fact, the closer you get to the disaster, the more that name rises in popularity. There were lots of girls named Katrina who were evacuated from Louisiana.
Matthew, what about place names in your book? Pretty popular from what I can see.
There are a lot of place names. We found someone named after all of the 50 states except for Massachusetts, interestingly enough. You know, and that actually is interesting. You know, one of the things that happened as we were looking at this, you know, putting this book together, I bet we looked at 50,000 different names as we picked the 2,000 or so that ended up in the book. And one of the things that happened as we went through it is that we started being more fascinated by the names that weren't showing up than the names that were there, you know. And so when we found 49 of the states but not Massachusetts, that became really interesting. And when we found six of the seven deadly sins, we found all of them except gluttony. So I don't know why it's okay to name your kid greed or lust or sloth, but it's not okay to name them gluttony.
Gluttony,
I don't know where
just
that,
won't. That's good.
I guess that's going too far.
The states are everywhere. I'm looking. You've got Texas Nation, Utah West, Vermont, Keggy, Wyoming, Gallup, and countries, too. You've got Bulgaria, Mock, Latvia, John, Lithuania, Hansen, Iceland, Woodbine, and even Combo, Romania, Spain, Russia, Israel. I mean, some people are just completely into geography here,
I guess.
Let's go to Sherry, calling from Columbia, Connecticut. Hi, Sherry, you're on the air.
Hi. I just have kind of a story from my youth. My parents took us on a trip. I have a brother and a sister. And we went through West Virginia, and we happened to pick up the phone book and look through it, and there were a lot of funny names. I don't know whether that was because we were from a different part of the country or what, but I can only remember one right now, but I can still remember it, and I was a teenager then, and I'm 61 now, and that name was Ophelia Butts. And I don't know how anybody could name their child Ophelia Butts, but it was in the phone book.
There was in the phone book. Sherry, thanks for that. Michael, I mean, clearly the sort of not exactly scatological, but touchy-feely, fun with the human body is all over this book. You've got a lot of this stuff. Give us a sense of that.
Well, if, for instance, Seymour Butts, I.P. Freely, those names showed up. And, you know, in The Simpsons, Bart calls Joe's tavern, and or Moe's Tavern, 14 times with names like Amanda Hugginkiss. And, of course, Moe turns around and says, "Is there Amanda Hugginkiss in the bar?" And everybody makes fun of him. But we found 10 of the 14 names that, you know, like Alcoholic, which we were stunned to find that one. So there are a lot of names that do have to do with the body. Ophelia Butts, Helen Bed, you know, things like that that you just kind of – you just sort of have to pause to think about why they would – why parents would do that.
Laura, give us a reality check here. You've done a lot of looking at these. I mean, how much – how far do you think the fun and with the census taker goes here? Are people really sitting around making up Alcoholic so that just they can laugh after the census taker leaves in 1899?
You can certainly find some examples of names that appear once and disappear. And very often, it's the head of household reporting to the census taker. You have just somebody coming to your door in Prairie Point, Mississippi in 1880 and asking about your kids, and you'll find a farmer who says his oldest son is named Worthless. Now, 10 years later, the next census comes around, and and the son has his own name back.
Right, right. So, and yet, looking right on down here, you know, maybe it's all fun, but you get into the verb action here, where Mary is a verb, and you've got, what a list, Mary a Belcher, Mary a Champion, Mary a Carpenter, Mary a Miner, Mary a Hog, Mary a Man, Mary a Cook, Mary a King, Mary a Cook, Crook, Mary a Wolf. Is that all, you know, good fun in Missouri, Michael?
We actually, you know, there were a lot of Mary A's in the book, or in the census, and we just put a sampling in. But all of those names appear more than once.
Mary a fool, almost, Mary a wise man, Mary a servant, Mary a master, Mary a preacher, Mary a big man, Mary a dog, for heaven's sakes.
And one of the things you have to remember is that Mary was a man's name, a very popular man's name. In fact, from 1900 to 1909, there were more men named Mary than there were Larry. So a lot of these are fathers having a little fun with their son as well as their daughter.
Let's take a call from Nancy in Newton, Massachusetts. Nancy, you're on the air.
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good.
I'm a sales agent, and I work on the phone. I have been doing this for about 16 years, and over the 16 years, I've managed to accumulate a lot of names that people have talked to, and I actually keep a names list on my bulletin board over my desk.
Oh, let's hear it. We're all ears. We're all ears.
Well, Hercules Leotard is my very, very favorite.
This must be a superhero.
Tel Aviv Barbie is another one that I like.
Tel Aviv Barbie.
Tel Aviv. T-E-L-A-V-I-V. Barbie's the last name.
Okay.
It sounds like a little bit of a, you know, somebody that lives in a, you know, on a in Israel somewhere that is a fashion model. And then St. Clair J. Tweedy. There's a lot. I've got hundreds. But we started to find out, too, that there are people whose names determine what they're going to do for a living. So we have Dr. Lou Smoller, who's a dentist. And his first name is Lou. His last name is Smoller. Norman Bates works for Hotel Motel Security. And Lillian Red Cross works for Alabama Health Services.
So, and these are all actual people that you've come across in your work in sales.
Absolutely. Misty Belch. I mean, seriously, the names are astonishing. And I was listening to what you were saying about Mary's, but I ran into things like the days of the week, like or months of the year, like September Plumlee and Morning Sunday. And a lot of people have named their kids days, weeks, months, and years.
Nancy, it sounds like it's made your life a little more fun. Do you laugh when you get them or just quietly scratch them onto your list?
Well, you have to be polite to them because you realize that this person has probably had a lot of fun made of their name over the years, and you don't want to put them in an embarrassing situation.
And you need to make a sale.
Oh, absolutely. But as soon as they get off the phone, their name gets up on the list. And we've got a little network in the office. When anybody finds a name, the subject line on the email says, "New name for the list." And I run.
Nancy, we love it. Thanks very much for your call. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about bad baby names, what U.S. Census records say about the crazy names that have been recorded for American babies, or at least given to census takers, the worst, the wackiest names recorded in that public history of the census. Michael Sherrod and Matthew Rayback are with us. They're co-authors of Bad Baby Names, The Worst True Names Parents Saddle Their Kids With, and You Can Too. They're with Ancestry.com. They went back and looked at census records from 1790 to the 1930s. There's a 70-year wait before they come out, so who knows what's going on right now. Maybe you can tell us. Laura Wattenberg is with us as well, author of The Baby Name Wizard and The Name Voyager online, where you can see name popularity and how it changes over time. What are the all-time worst in your bad baby name book? Are you a victim? Were you saddled with a bad baby name? Let's hear it. And are we giving bad baby names today and don't even know it? Let's go to Orlando, Florida, and Wade. Hi, Wade. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, my brother, unfortunately, when he was born, I guess at the time my mother was a little bit incoherent, and the nurse was very impatient. So when my mother could not furnish a name, the nurse provided one, and his name is Baby Boy.
Now, wait, if we heard that, you know, on the street or at the locker room, we'd think it was an urban legend, but this is your brother?
This is my brother, yes it is.
Does he still go by Baby?
Of course not, no. He's got a first name and two middle names, and of course his last name now to make up for his lack of official name.
And what did he choose instead of Baby Boy, or what did they finally give him?
It's David Lawrence Carl, and I'll save the last name to protect the innocent.
Okay, and we take it that you are not Wade in the water or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Wade, thanks very much for calling. Thanks very much. Let's get another from Grafton, Massachusetts. Heather, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I am a name fanatic. I absolutely love naming babies. I've named friends' babies. I've named three of my own. I like very unusual names. And, of course, Heather was in the top 10 of 1974, which is the
right.
year that I was born.
Right, super popular.
So there is something to be said for, you know, having one of the more popular names, too. That's not always that much fun either.
Yeah.
But I knew two very unusual names. In college in particular, I knew a guy named Unity, and he was clearly the son of hippies. He was born at a Bob Dylan concert, but his personality...
Did you say born at a Bob Dylan concert?
That was the claim, yes, as far as I know.
Blood on the tracks? I don't know. Okay, okay.
Who knows? It was the 70s. But anyway, so he now is a broker on Wall Street. And so his personality kind of went in the opposite direction, maybe of what his parents would have thought he would turn out with a name like Unity.
Unity's not on a commune, though. If the Wall Street keeps going in the way it's been, he may be on one soon. What else have you found, Heather, in your looking around?
Well, like I said, I really like pretty unusual names. High up on the list for my children were names like Wild, or Timberland, or Scout, that kind of thing. When it came down to it, I didn't go too crazy. I gave them very simple, not very common names, but certainly not, like, way out there.
Okay, we're curious. What did you name them?
I have a daughter named Liv, L-I-V. I have a son named Leaf, and I have a son named Jude. But I gave them each a very classic middle name in the event that when they grew up, they didn't like having something unusual and wanted something more traditional to fall back on.
Heather, it's a good story, and thanks for it. And Unity, maybe born at a Bob Dylan concert, now on Wall Street, we'll think about that. Laura, what's your sense in tracking the popularity of names? Are there periods where more sort of out-on-the-edge names are more popular than others? Are there periods where conformity is more the case over time?
There's actually been a huge switch in the last 25 years that conformity was pretty much the rule. There's always been the fringe. You'll find top 1,000 names like Pink and Dink back in Victorian times. But today...
Pink Floyd, I found in the Bad Baby Names book here. Pink, way before Pink Floyd sang.
Pink and Dink were both boys' names, by the way.
Okay,
in case you're wondering.
Right, right.
Today, the normal is actually the exception. So names like John and Mary that dominated for hundreds of years are disappearing. And you see that the curve has just fallen away as more and more parents are determined that their children are going to stand out.
And you also were mentioning to me in the break that the apparent popularity of Mary as a boy's name that Michael and Matthew found, there's an explanation for that. And it has to do with the very degree of its popularity.
Exactly. That names like John and Mary were so overwhelmingly popular at one time that even the errors, like recording Mary as a boy, becomes a popular name. And you see that with other names as well.
You're saying it wasn't actually popular for boys. It was just so common that the census takers made mistakes checking off the box.
Exactly.
And that turns into a big number when it's so popular.
When there are 10,000 girls named Mary, if one in 100 has the wrong box checked, suddenly it becomes a boy's name.
Wow. Of course, if you're feeling hungry, we've got Peach Skeeters, Banana Bodie, Cherry Grant, Mango King, Lime Moss, Lemon Bush, and Right On. If you're feeling sporty in bad baby names, we've got Run Manly, Javelin Thomas, Discus Arnold, Swimmer Glass, Russell Rose, and for those indoors, Chess President. Adrian, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I had a question for your guest, actually. You had mentioned before Rob Morrow naming his daughter Tomorrow, and I actually did all the research a few years back. I was going to purchase a house from Rob Morrow's father, and he told me that they had named, actually, Deborah Morrow.
You're talking about the Morrow family. So this Rob Morrow, he's on the show Numbers now, well-known for the actor for his role on Northern Exposure, and his daughter, Tomorrow, T.U. Morrow, you know. Adrian, are you there? Whoop, sounds like we lost Adrian. Let's take another from Nashville, Tennessee. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Good to talk to you.
You too.
I talked with a fellow whose aunt was one of twins born in Iuka, Mississippi in the early 50s. The mother had seen the names at the health department, and she named her twin daughters Syphilis and Gonorrhea.
And you're sure it's not an urban legend? This is a story you know for sure.
I've actually spoken with Phyllis.
Well, and I'm sure she is.
Isn't that awful?
Phyllis at this point.
And Gonorrhea.
Well, there we are. Back to those, Michael, back to those names which may look lovely on a page once you get closer. There's something else, but it sounds like urban legend even as we hear it.
Well, we've heard lots of urban legend names that have been, you know, thrown at us as we've talked about this book around the country. But in almost every case, there are instances where those names are true. You know, some of my favorite names in the book that are unusual but probably are very true are the ones around punctuation. We found 20 people named noun, 84 people named verb, 458 commas, 5,291 colons, but only one semicolon, three articles, and four subjects. So it's, you know, I actually think those are kind of cool names. Now, of course, being a writer and being in the publishing business, that obviously makes sense. But I wouldn't, you know, adverb Smith, that's not bad.
And it can hardly be accidental. What do you think, Laura? We've got grammar teachers here or just people who like the sound of it?
Well, it's pretty much open season for turning words into names in English. And actually, today, that's a very popular way to go. But what's changing is what kinds of words we value. So 100 years ago, there might have been a general term like golden for a child. But today, luxury is all about brands, so that child might be Armani.
There's a lot of goldens in this book, a lot of goods, good moody, good fellers, good lord, good hell, good. If you want love, you've got love divine, love cats, love bacon, love money, love. And people just can't stop having fun with names. Linda's calling from Pocatello, Idaho. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that years ago, when we were quite young in grade school, I had a friend named, actually two friends, a boy and a girl, and they were boyfriend and girlfriend, and his name was Lester Betty, and her name was Betty Lester. And I often wondered what, you know, it would be like if they got married.
So she could have become Betty. Maybe one day he'd become Lester. I don't know. Did they connect at all, Linda? Did they get married?
That was years ago, and I'm not quite sure. I don't think they did, but it was sure fun back then.
That's pretty good. Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to Danville, Vermont. Ryan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Along with the bad baby names would be initials. When my wife and I were thinking about names for our son, we would put the initials together, and we would throw out bad initial combinations, such as bad, B-A-D, or even initials ADD. Go through life using your initials for a lot of stuff and didn't want to set them up for anything.
Right. So you were very careful to avoid even trouble at the initial level. Matthew, what about initials and how they play into the bad baby name front?
Well, we did You know, we did find, like, IP Freely. That's
I see that here. Yeah, right.
It's a little bit harder to search through the census for initials just because, you know, you kind of have to have something specific that you're looking for. Although I did hear an interesting story recently about a family where they named their kids. Each of their kids had four letter names for their first names, and those names were their initials. So they had two middle names. So it was like his name was Wade, and it was Wade Anthony Douglas something with an E in the last. So his first name was his initials.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned the Simpsons earlier, and of course, if you want to look through, you can find all of them. They're all in the census. Homer Simpson's in there, and Marge Simpson, Bart Simpson, over those many years before 1930-something. Even Ned Flanders is in there. Let's go to Jeremy in Westboro, Massachusetts. Jeremy, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you know?
When I was in high school, I was in school with a girl named Windy Trees.
Pretty.
And then years later, I met a totally different girl at a party named Windy Trees as well.
Now, what are the odds of that? Laura, this takes us into your territory. What are the odds of two Windy Trees met by one guy?
Windy is a pretty unlikely case, but I've certainly known a lot of nature names because, like one of the callers, I grew up in Amherst, Massachusetts in the 1970s, surrounded by hippie families, and I had classmates with names like Liberty and Love All.
Lots of nice names in the book, Michael. You've got nice flowers, nice price, nice deal, nice car, kind of sweetness there, and pretty stone, sweet leavings, fine cherry, pretty house, fine gender, pretty boy. Swell cook? Do you take that for real?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of parents, I think, name their children with a sense of whimsy as well as a sense of fun. And many times, I think some of the names like Nice and Golden, those names, their parents were really working to find a name that would express what they felt about the child or hope that, you know, for the future of the child.
I love you've got Rosetta Stone, Rich Cousins, Royal Hunt, Car Chase. Is there a year on that one, Matthew? Is that before cars were invented? Automobiles?
Probably.
America's Gates, Welcome Darling, Ben Naughty. That sounds like maybe a spoof for the old census taker. Let's go to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Phil. Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Good to be thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I would like to contribute one. My first wife was in college, and instructor identified himself to his brand new students by writing Revilo, R-E-V-I-L-O, which many thought was an unusual but not
indeed
not bad name. Then he put his second name, his surname down there, O-L-I-V-E-R.
So front to back and back to front.
It's a palindromic name.
Revilo, Oliver, and middle name maybe palindrome. What do you? did he seem to enjoy it, Phil?
Well, yeah, he. Well, I wasn't there when he did this, but the students got a big kick out of it.
That's great. Fun and games and word games with our babies' names, Michael. There's some again interesting things that showed up well before they became famous here. Darth Vader, famous from Star Wars. But you've got census names going back to 1790 to 1930-something. Lots of Darths. Darth Cromer, Darth Howard, Darth Stewart, Darth Hulbert, Darth Wimbish, Darth Meadows. Who knew that Darth Vader had such a lineage before him?
Exactly. And not only did we find Darth, but we found almost the entire cast of Harry Potter. We found Harry Potter, Arthur Weasley, George Weasley, Cho Chang, Tom Riddle, Peter Pettigrew, Alice Longbottom, and Frank Longbottom. Sadly, we did not find Ron or Hermione, although we did find a Hermine Granger.
That
was about as close as we came.
And you've got a lot of Tolkien names in here, too. Now, was this before or after The Lord of the Rings and all that?
Oh, it was definitely before.
And so give us some of those if you've got them offhand. Well, I've got them. You've got Bilbo Baggett, Sam Gamgee, Peregrin Burgar, Sauron Wright, Ring Hand, Strider Nation, Thorin and Frodo, and it sounds like you anticipated J.R. Tolkien to a fare thee well.
Yep.
Our time grows. Yeah, please.
Well, I just want to say we also had Ring Hand as part of that, but You're right. Gandalf is in there. But we found a lot of other. There was actually a Spider-Man. There was a Buckaroo Banzai. So it's really pretty interesting that these names all occurred long before they ever appeared in fiction or movies.
Dragon Mako, Medusa, Bane, Siren, Bass. Keep going, Michael. We've just got a minute here. Dazzle us with your crazy names.
Well, one of the ones I like are people who name their children after all of the scout mottos, the trustworthy Norris, loyal blood, helpful love, friendly rag, courteous Vakliav, kind king, obedient Fortenberry, cheerful Kilgore, thrifty Graham, brave Canada, clean Ash, reverent Gunn.
Fairy last, tales to a fair. Oh, the last but not least.
Well, the last, Badge Ballard.
Badge Ballard, Aladdin, Wishart, Ali Baba, Beauty Outlaw, Briar Rose, Peter Pan and Snow White are here, and Fairy Little and Fairy Chick. What a tour. It seems like, Laura, that there's really almost nothing that Americans haven't or won't one day name their children.
Oh, we'll go just about anywhere. So that palindromic name is not so unusual anymore. Actually, one of the top 100 names in America right now is a word backwards, Nevaeh, which is heaven backwards.
Heaven backwards, good heavens, off we go. It's been a lot of fun. Laura Wattenberg, author of The Baby Name Wizard, great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Tom.
And Michael Sherrod in Denver, Matthew Rayback in Salt Lake City, authors of Bad Baby Names, the worst true names parents saddle their kids with, and you can too. Michael, Matthew, thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
We go out, of course, with Johnny Cash. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, because I'm the that named you Sue. Yeah, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, anything but Sue. I'm really